Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Cab Drivers General Assembly meeting was initially scheduled for the 19th of August, but that was rescheduled for the 27th of August. That would be Monday, and the time will be at 1 o'clock. The place is at 2600 Everett Place, Northeast. And I urge all taxi cab drivers to attend this general association meeting, because there are so many important issues we are going to discuss on this general assembly meeting regarding the new bill and other very, very urgent issues that demand discussion and exchange of opinion, how to go about the new Merice bill.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, advisor, and neighborhood commissioner, Tony Norman, who's chairman of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome, Tony.
Glad to be here.
We're also joined in studio by Michelle Chime, who's a driver with UVC and an active member of the Small Business Association, or SBA. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
We open the show with some brief remarks from Negede Abebe, who's chairman of the SBA. Negede discussed the change in date for the upcoming town hall meeting, which was initially scheduled for tomorrow, but instead has been postponed to Monday, August 27th at 1 p.m. at Kedus Gabriel Ethiopian Orthodox Church at 2601 Evart Street, Northeast. And this information will be posted at thefightback.org. Yesterday, leaders of the SBA held a marathon meeting in preparation for the DC Taxicab Commission's hearing this coming Wednesday. And just a bit, we'll be discussing some of the major changes that the Taxicab Commission is trying to push through this Wednesday. But first, I wanted to turn to Haimanot Biziwayihu. I spoke briefly with Haimanot after yesterday's marathon session, and like Negede, he discussed the change in date for the upcoming town hall and apologized to drivers for the inconvenience.
To all drivers out there, I would like to inform you that the general meeting, which was scheduled for August 19, 2012, has been postponed due to some technical problems for August 27, 2012 at 1 o'clock at St. Gabriel Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which is located at 2601 Evart Street, Northeast, 20018. Evart spells E-V-A-R-T-S. And I would like to apologize in the name of the association for any inconvenience this may cause.
That was Haimanot Biziwayihu, board member of the Small Business Association. Tony Norman, Michelle Chime, I want to get both of your opening remarks. And if each of you could speak to what's on tap for this coming Wednesday, the DC Taxi Cab Commission is holding a public hearing to amend chapters 5, 6, 8, 11, 13, and 15 of Title 31 of the DC Municipal Regulations, which is the regulatory framework that governs the taxicab industry. This is not a small matter. These are major changes that will have a lasting impact on drivers on a number of fronts. Tony, welcome. Let's begin with you.
Yeah, I would just encourage all drivers that this is a very, very important hearing coming up Wednesday, 11 a.m., and all of the drivers need to make it. They're going to change a lot of the regulations. As it affect the drivers. I mean, some of the regulations are very serious in terms of fines and effect. That just some of it is just ridiculous. So the drivers need to be there to speak out, so that at least they can have their voice stated on the record about what the commission is trying to do. I mean, even though they passed this legislation at Mary Che, it's still not in effect yet. It has to go before Congress, and still there's a chance to have your voice be heard. But in the meantime, they're also moving forward on some of this regulations that drivers need to be on top of. So this is very, very important.
Michelle, there was a marathon session you were a part of yesterday, the Small Business Association. The leaders got together to pour over these various changes to these various chapters of Title 31. Talk about some of your concerns are with the proposed amendments that are coming up on Wednesday.
There are a lot of issues which we want to protest over here. As usual, they may not, of course, listen to us, but we have to be present over there and protest what it is our real concern. However, We have six chapters over here, which four of them are amendments for already existing or recently passed regulations, and two of them are very new. These four are related to the new taxi cab smart meter system and the new dome light system, which they are trying to rush it with an emergency and install or implement the Improvement Act immediately without even it being a law.
Interestingly, Wednesday's meeting of the DC Taxi Cab Commission will begin at 11 a.m., not the normal time of 10 a.m. The DC Taxi Cab Commission posted a notice on Thursday which explained why. It reads, quote, "The DC Taxi Cab Commission public hearing schedule for Wednesday, August 22nd, will start at 11 a.m. instead of the previously announced 10 a.m. to allow the commissioners to attend Mayor Gray's press conference at Verifone. The mayor will introduce and demonstrate the taxi smart meter system on the initial taxi to have the device installed. The commission's public hearing will be held at 441 4th Street Northwest in the old council chambers," end quote. So the hearing's at the normal place at 441 4th Street, 1 Judiciary Square. It's at 11 a.m., not 10 a.m., so that the mayor and, I guess, Chairman, Taxi Cab Commission Chairman Ron Linton can attend this press conference with Verifone. So, Michelle, you mentioned that they're moving forward quite fast, and despite the fact that there are serious protests, and we're going to discuss some of those, to this contract, they seem to be trying to move forward with this controversial five-year, $35 million Verifone contract.
Yes, this is the contract that they passed through emergency legislation, and it's still questionable. I understand later it's going to be a clip from the former Mayor Barry that put a delay on that. Here it is. It is a very shaky situation that they passed this emergency legislation, and now the mayor is going to make an announcement of how they're going to put these new smart meters into the cabs, which is very questionable whether or not that would even happen this year, because to actually do that will, as when we talk to some expert, it's going to be involving a great deal of detail, a great deal of it's a much more complicated process to install this type of system into taxicabs. So for whatever reason, they're trying to pump it up, and that's why I guess they're holding this press conference. But they should be having a hearing on the permanent legislation of this contract, which is a very questionable contract.
Now, we don't know the exact location of the press conference, but as soon as that information gets made available, I will post it at thefightback.org under the taxi link. So you can check there for that information. But we do know about Wednesday's hearing, and it is important that drivers turn out. I wanted to say that, you know, while Mayor Gray continues to push forward with implementation of the taxi smart meters, serious questions are being raised about the Verifone deal, which was pushed through using emergency legislation. Two of Verifone's competitors, Creative Mobile Technologies, or CMT, as well as Alexandria-based Taxi Magic, have filed protests claiming the procurement process was flawed. And Tony, you just mentioned that this week, Ward 8 Councilmember Marion Barry filed a disapproval resolution, which triggers a 45-day review period, during which time the contract will be put on hold. If the deal is not killed by the full council during the review period, then it will move forward, according to a report by Alan Binder of the Washington Examiner.
Yes, once again, this is a contract that selected a single company to all the meters. This is clearly a monopolistic move on behalf of the district government. One company that will install the meters. It doesn't give the driver the opportunity to look for another company. And it's also unfair to drivers who have already signed contract with credit card companies that are presently in their cab. So those contracts may not mean anything now that they have to start doing business with this new company. I mean, this was brought up in some of the discussions we had yesterday, that it's unfair to taxicab drivers who have already signed contracts with other companies to do credit cards and things of that nature in GPS system. Now, all of a sudden, the government is going to change it, say you can only deal with one company. This is clearly a monopolistic overreach on the part of the district government and the taxicab commission. And therefore, once again, this raises some very legal, serious legal issues in terms of the right to contract and free trade.
Now, we hear from drivers a lot, and in fact, we'll be down at 15th and U Streets Northwest directly following this program, as we are each Saturday. So if folks want to come on down there, we'll be down there by definitely by 9:15. And Makonnen Abel-Siyum, who's with Grand, who's been working to collect memberships for WPFW 89.3 FM, where Tony Norman is chair of the board. He'll be down there by 9 p.m. So come on down and see us. But we hear from drivers, and there are so many concerns, and drivers do not, and they largely are not, listened to or heard, despite the fact that the chairman of the Taxi Cab Commission, Ron Litton, recently said in a Washington Post article that he regularly meets with drivers at the gas station when he gets gas. So you have these hearings, and there's not a huge amount of turnout. Recently there's not been a huge amount of turnout. People can testify. Drivers are allowed to testify. And I want to give out the number that you can call to the DC Taxi Cab Commission if you want to sign up to testify. It probably makes sense to do that sooner rather than later, because while most council hearings are pretty flexible as far as who can testify, there's not much very flexible about the DC Taxi Cab Commission. So if you're interested in testifying at the hearing that occurs Wednesday at 11 a.m. at 441 4th Street Northwest, the number to call is 202-645-6018. And it's the weekend, so you can leave a message for the DC Taxi Cab Commission. I'll give that number out again, and then later in the program, we'll try to remember to do so as well. That's 202-645-6018. And that's to sign up, to call in and sign up to testify at the DC Taxi Cab Commission. Do you have something you want to say, Tony Norman?
Yeah, just in reference to that, that was another. They also, the chairman has this ridiculous rule that only 24 people can testify at these hearings, which I think is outrageous. And the commissioners, as well as taxicab drivers, should challenge that. I mean, the city council, no other commission has this rule. When you have a public hearing, he's only holding, restricting it to 24 people, the first 24 people to sign up. And why? How does he come to the number 24? He must have threw up a card or something, came out with 24 and said that's the magic number. Someone needs to challenge that. As many people and drivers ought to be able to testify as they have an opinion to testify. That's at every public commission or hearing or every public body in the District of Columbia but the Taxicab Commission. And the only reason that is so because Dictator Linton says it's only 24. Some that should be challenged.
Tony's referring to a notice about the August 22nd public hearing. And this is from the DC Taxi Cab Commission, and it reads, public comments are expected to be limited to the first 24 people to register. Any additional individuals will be called upon in order of their registration pending no-shows and time availability. But I would encourage drivers, whoever has something to say, to call in and testify, to sign up to testify. And if you aren't able to testify, well, we'll be there. You know, let me know. We'll record what you have to say. We'll air it over these airwaves. We also have the Small Business Association has a town hall coming up on the 27th, Monday, 1 p.m. And so there's other opportunities to speak out. But it's important. I mean, as we go to the gas station, we hear driver after driver raise very serious concerns. The place to raise these concerns, I mean, certainly it's at the gas station and to talk to one another. But definitely the people who have oversight and power over drivers, they're the people that definitely need to hear directly from drivers. Before I go to a clip of Stanley Tapscott, who is a driver and a driver-friendly commissioner. Michelle, did you want to weigh in here on some of these comments?
Yes, I would like to say just a couple of points over here. The question we always ask is why is this amendment act to be implemented an urgency? What does it make it an emergency legislation? I mean, this is a system that has existed for the past 80 years. And what's the need for changing it in 2 weeks? This is clearly an indication of that the act itself and the rules and regulations that emanate from this act are not really open to assess the existing reality, I mean the life and the work of the driver.
Tony Norman, any comment on the use of emergency legislation to pass this Verifone contract?
Other than what I said, it's a very sort of underhanded way of them doing that. Why not go through the normal legislative process, which means they have to have an open hearing on this contract where everyone comes and testify and give their opinion, including competitors can come down and taxicab drivers can come down. And then the council can review this contract, whether or not they want to vote for it or not. But instead, they do an emergency legislation. What is the emergency? You have time to get this done. The Taxicab Commission is not even in any position to even have oversight over this contract. So it's a very shaky situation to do this under emergency type of situation. I think several council members brought this to the attention of the chair, Mary J.
I want to turn to a clip in just a moment. It's Stanley Tapscott talking about the importance of drivers showing up to these meetings. Last week here on the Taxi Link, we played an interview I did with Commissioner Tapscott, who's now serving his second stint on the DC Taxi Cab Commission. Mr. Tapscott, not only a friend of drivers, he's a longtime driver himself. I asked him what difference it makes when drivers turn out in numbers to commission meetings.
Well, you know, numbers count a lot in anything. If you got one person standing up yelling, everybody's going to walk by and look at him and say, that fool is yelling. But if you got 500 standing up there yelling the same thing, somebody's going to stop and listen. And that's the same thing here. They're not listening because we do not turn out. Somehow we got to get drivers to understand this is their livelihood. I mean, you know, how long will I be driving a cab? I don't know. As long as my health allows me. But my day's over. I'm thinking about the younger drivers. They need to get involved. They need to come out here. But they too busy making money for themselves. And I know this is their livelihood, but you have to sacrifice some.
You have to sacrifice some, said Commissioner Stanley Tapscott. Michelle Chime, you wanted to add a point?
Yes, I have another point which I want to really make it clear that this contract is pushed in a hurry and in a rush just to serve a couple of interest groups. These interest groups are the contractor itself, that means Verifone, and other groups who have an exclusive contract with this contractor. NBC4 is one, Destination DC is other, which is the epicenter of all these quakes. This push is actually designed to serve the interest of these two groups.
Michelle, can you?
And the other point is I want every driver to appear in physically appear and testify and watch everything what is going on over there. This is our primary concern. And if you want the data or the information, you can download it from the commission's website and go through line by line, and you can clearly see what is going on. And I urge everybody to physically appear over there. Thanks.
Tony Norman.
Once again, I would just stress, yes, show up there, because I also know later on the council should be having a hearing on this Verifone, on the permanent legislation of this contract. That's where it's going to be very important to turn out also, because they have to be exposed as to what exactly is going on. The media, once again, is not covering this issue about this contract, the specifics of the contract, the details of this contract. That's where the devil is. And when you read the details of this contract, many people will be surprised. And what is the effect going to be on the individual driver? They keep saying the driver doesn't have to pay for these smart meters. We don't know if that's the case or not. Who's going to be responsible for maintaining these meters? All of that is still up in the air. So that's why they need to have this hearing. And they never should have done this with emergency legislation. That is something that should have been stopped. And someone should have raised an objection and a protest, at least one of the council members.
According to the DC Taxi Cab Commission website, Mayor Gray is scheduled to hold a press conference Wednesday morning to showcase the installation of the new taxi smart meter system. The DCTC website says the press conference will take place outside the DC offices of Verifone, the San Francisco-based company which recently won the five-year, $35 million taxi smart meter contract with the district government to install meters in all DC taxis. As the city rushes forward with the controversial Verifone contract, I wanted to turn to a July 10th exchange between at-large DC Councilmember Vincent Orange and Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, who sponsored the recently passed taxi overhaul legislation. Councilmember Orange asked Councilmember Che if it wasn't a little unusual to use emergency legislation to enter into the contract with Verifone.
Can you please talk a little bit about the contract? Because isn't this a little unusual that we're doing a declaration and everything else on here that deals with a contract, states that it's a contract, and we talk about the contract? Can we talk a little bit about this contract?
Sure, but I would say that all of you have a copy and have been given a copy, and there was a big press conference and a lot of coverage about the contract. But nevertheless, the contract amount is $34,931,000. It's a five-year contract. It has three option years. Verifone will provide this new smart meter system. It has a unique login for each taxi cab driver. The identity is authenticated either through a PIN or barcode scanning of the driver credential. There's an electronic digital photo of the taxi cab driver that appears on the passenger monitor. There's an electronic trip sheet data collection, an electronic manifest. There's GPS. There's credit, debit card acceptance, and printing of receipts. It will accept all major credit and debit cards. The passenger information monitor will have programming. It'll have a touch screen, again, displaying the driver's name, photo, HAC license number. There'll be an interactive route map so you can see how you're going. The passenger can turn off or mute the monitor. The driver will have a GPS navigation system with route guidance in case the driver doesn't know where he or she's going. There's an ability to send and receive text messages. Drivers can pre-select responses by pressing a single button. The district can communicate with taxis in the event of an emergency. There'll be driver-passenger alert buttons. The driver is a contact with MPD. The passenger is simply to a HAC inspector, which then, if necessary, could be forwarded to MPD. There will be advertisement management. The Verifone systems will be entitled to all revenue generated through advertisements in the first 2 years. After that, the district will get 10% of the net advertisement revenues, and then 20% in year 4 and 5. Verifone is going to install the...
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, before my time runs out, let me ask my other two questions.
I'm sorry, because there's a lot in there. I don't know what you want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very good information, especially for those of you at home to hear what this contract is about. Mm-hmm. Another quick question is, was this contract competitively bidded?
Yes, it was, and there were 8 bidders.
Okay, and the vendor that won this contract, are they D.C.-based? Are they subject to D.C. taxation?
I don't know the answer to that question.
California.
They're from California, I'm being told.
That was at-large Councilmember Vincent Orange questioning Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che at the July 10th legislative meeting of the D.C. Council. Councilmember Orange questioned the use of emergency legislation to enter into a contract with Verifone, which has also been questioned. The contract has also been questioned by two of Verifone's competitors, and more recently by Councilmember Marion Barry. At a July 5th press conference, I questioned Mary Gray about the Verifone contract.
The Washington Post in February wrote, if drivers must install new equipment, why not give them the specifications and let them shop around rather than have the Taxi Cab Commission choose a single vendor? And it goes on to say study should be conducted because there's too much argument by anecdote on all sides of the debate. How comfortable are you, Mayor Gray, with the Taxi Cab Commission, which is itself a troubled agency, selecting this vendor sole-sourced?
Well, it's not sole-source. There were 8 bids. Yeah. There were 8. So it's not sole source. Let me make that absolutely clear. But I think to have people shopping around and they do it on their timetable and maybe this month, next month, maybe never, be myriad systems, you would just have a mess at the end of the day. I think this is an instance where we needed to step in. We needed to say here is a system that we've adopted. There's a competitive bid process. Anybody that wanted to be in the game had an opportunity to be in it. But at the end of the day, we needed something that was uniform that we could work with. So I'm absolutely supportive of having selected one company to do that. And that was a bid process. I didn't even know who the 8 companies were, to be honest with you. And I don't know who the other 7 are now. But no way would I support having somebody having, a variety of different approaches to this, let alone the issues that would have been associated with the software and the technology.
Mayor Gray, earlier you mentioned to focus on passengers, and this system, the Verifone spokesman misspoke and said this was New York. It's not, but I think similar things like this happened in New York. The advertising is wildly unpopular. In fact, the New York Times wrote of this, those bleeding miniature television screens are a standard annoyance. And now New York's moving away from this at the very time that we're moving towards it. Do you have any concerns that this hasn't worked out well in New York and yet now we're bringing it here?
I think if it doesn't work out well, we won't continue to use it. Anything that doesn't work, we recognize that this is a major step forward. Some of this will be a initial cruise, so to speak, to work out any issues that are associated with it. If there are things that don't work out, we'll discontinue those.
That was Mayor Gray responding to my questions about the Verifone contract at a July 5th press conference. This is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker. with the fightback.org, joined by my co-host Tony Norman, advisor and neighborhood commission and chairman of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM, also joined in studio by Michelle Chaime, who is a member of the Small Business Association. I wanted to get both of your responses. Maybe we'll begin with you, Tony, about the comments regarding the Verifone contract from both Mary Che as well as Mayor Gray.
Well, if you heard Mary Che, she said, and the questioning that Councilmember Orange, you can tell that she was a little uncomfortable, and he was raising a very good point, that they don't know much about that contract before it came to the dais and they started debating it. They don't know the details. This is a very large contract. And as I understand it, there's not even a minority participation in this contract, which the D.C. law requires. And that's one of the reasons I think there's some reason they're objecting, some of their competitors objecting to this. As much as they talk about including minority participation in large contract, there is none in this one. And as much as they talk about bringing business back to D.C., one D.C., D.C. this, this is not a local D.C. company. Did they explore and exhaust options of looking for companies in the D.C. metropolitan area? No. That's why they did this on an emergency basis. And then the mayor said it's a competitive bidding process. I don't necessarily know if that's true or not. I mean, on the surface, it seemed competitive, as we brought out many times before. You can have a contract so tilted in one direction. That's why there's going to be objections filed to this contract. That's a question of whether or not it is, in fact, was a competitive bid. They only wanted one company to deal with this, from as I hear it and understand it. So this is something that needs to be really reviewed. And another thing the mayor said, well, if it doesn't work, we don't use them again. Well, he needs to use that philosophy on the taxicab commission. If it doesn't work, don't use it again. He needs to use that philosophy on the chairman of the taxicab commission. Because that's not working. The taxicab commission is seriously flawed. And that's who's going to oversee this contract. That's another very, very troubling thing. The taxicab commission is supposed to have oversight and follow through and look over what's happening with this contract. They are in no position to do that. They're barely in a position to overlook the authority that they have now, rather than to add that authority with this contract. So there's some very, very serious questions that the mayor and I think the chairman are very uncomfortable with. I think that's why they're holding this press conference, because they're concerned that there's going to be a delay and a lot of questions are being raised about this contract. And now they're trying to whip up public support. But the media needs to, if you notice, there's a strange, the mainstream media is not looking into this contract. Someone needs to investigate what's going on with this contract. There's some very questionable situation here. That's why we keep stressing we need independent media. That's why I work with WPFW. That's why we keep begging people to get involved with WPFW to expose these type of issues that mainstream media is not covering. That's why we're going to be at 15th and U, to get the taxicab drivers need to become members and stakeholders in WPFW. Stop by 15th and U. We're going to be there tonight at 9 o'clock to become a member of WPFW to expose these type of issues. But the mainstream media is not covering these issues. But there's a lot of questionable things about this contract.
It was interesting to hear Mayor Gray say that, well, if it doesn't work out, then we'll just, you know, do something else. But it's a 5-year, $35 million contract with Verifone. So if it doesn't work out, I don't see how you can say thanks, but no thanks. You still are on the hook for 5 years, $35 million, as I read it.
Yes. And he just, once again, it needs this contract needs to be thoroughly, thoroughly reviewed. And someone needs to challenge it. It needs to be looked at very thoroughly. The council didn't have time to deliberate on this. There was no public hearings on this. So therefore, there's a lot of serious questions about this contract. And whether or not they can even live up to what they're stating. She's promising a lot of things in that contract that a lot of experts are saying are not practical. They cannot do those things in the taxi cabs, in the cabs today.
Michelle Chaime, your response both to the clips that we played with Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che and with Mayor Vincent Gray.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there is an influence of an interest group. This interest group and its relationship with its own members and others, outsiders, has to be seriously scrutinized. As I said, Destination DC, the Taxicab Commission has four direct or indirect members of Destination DC. Mind you, Destination DC has one of its executive members, NBC4. NBC4 has an exclusive contract with Verifone. And this had been cooked in the past 3 or 4 years when the Taxicab Commission was itself considered or called, in quote, dysfunctional. They are moving forward urgently. This, after once we start implementing, we cannot return. They don't want to stop it. They want to pull it and make it practical right away to avoid every scrutiny or any opposition. That's all about.
That's the voice of Michelle Chime, who's a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. This is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, joined by my co-host, Tony Norman. You can go to thefightback.org to find past programs of the Taxi Link, and this show will be archived there as well. So tell other drivers, tell your friends. If they miss previous shows, they can find it at www.thefightback.org. The Washington Post posted a story online earlier today about a bizarre incident on Friday in which a passenger appears to have set himself on fire inside a cab, leading to the passenger's death. According to the Post, the driver, who's with Independent Taxi in Prince George's County, escaped with minor burns while his car was destroyed and the passenger was burned inside. The Post wrote, quote, "A passenger who reportedly threw flammable liquid in an attempt to rob a taxi driver set the cab on fire and died in the blaze," authorities said, end quote. I spoke with two taxi leaders in Prince George's County just a little while ago, but they were unclear as to exactly what happened. We'll continue to follow this story right here on the Taxi Link next week, and I look forward to getting in touch with the Prince George's County drivers. It's been too long since I've touched base with them. Before we go any further, I'd like to give out several different telephone numbers, so if you're driving, you may want to pull over. First, I'm going to give out the number to listen to the Taxi Link live over your phone. A number of drivers have told us the station's signal can go in and out, but that won't happen if you're listening over the phone. I'm also going to give out the number to call into this program, and we're going to be taking calls maybe about 10 minutes from now. Lastly, I'll give out the number for the Small Business Association's Taxi Phone Conference, which is held not in English, but in Amharic, and it begins directly after this program. The phone conference is completely separate from this radio show, and it's conducted in Amharic. If you don't speak Amharic, you probably want to skip the phone conference. All right, I'd like to give out those three phone numbers, beginning with the number to call if you want to listen to the show over your phone. That number is 832-225-5330. Again, that's 832-225-5330, and that allows you to listen over your mobile phone, as a number of drivers have reported is actually preferable to listening on the air, and that's 832-225-5330. I'd also like to give out the number to call into the program if you have a comment or question you'd like to share. That number is 703-534-9878. Again, that's 703-534-9878, and we'll be taking calls in a bit. I'd also like to give out the number for the Amharic Taxi Phone Conference, which begins directly after this broadcast. The number to call to listen to the phone conference is 712-432-3100, 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465, code 140465. And again, if you want to testify on Wednesday at the DC Taxi Cab Commission, which begins at 11 a.m., not the normal 10 a.m., at 441 4th Street at 1 Judiciary Square, that number to call. You can leave a message, and if they don't let you testify, then you let us know, and we'll get your testimony heard, whether it be at the upcoming town hall Monday, August 27th, or whether we record it and play it over these airwaves. We'll get that testimony heard, whether Chairman Litton allows it or not, at the public or quasi-public hearing. The number to call to leave a message or to, during the week, get in touch with them. But I wouldn't wait, because you know the Taxi Cab Commission, if you wait, they find a way to not let you testify, they will certainly do so. Number to call for the DCTC is 202-645-6018, 202-645-6018. That's a lot of telephone numbers. Before we turn to calls, which we'll be doing in just a few minutes, I want to play a couple clips from an interview with David Alpert, the founder and editor of the blog Greater Greater Washington. Alpert appeared Tuesday on News Talk with Bruce DuPoit on News Channel 8, and he discussed Uber, the controversial and largely unregulated sedan service. And Alpert rode an Uber into the station, only to find out that the car was licensed in Virginia. We go now to that clip.
Talk to us about the debate that has cropped up over time about Uber and what the council is preparing to do.
Sure. DC, of course, has had, like all cities, a taxi system for a long time where there's a lot of regulation. Taxis have to charge a certain amount. It's been set by a certain amount at the beginning, certain amount by distance, and so forth. Uber came along and said, we think we can do better, provide better customer service, maybe better quality of cabs, because residents have been frustrated by some of those things, using the black cars, the sedans for hire that are already out there. And they created a mobile app, and you can use text messaging to request one of these cars, and then it comes and takes you where you want to go, but costs more. And the real question is, as you said, is this a taxi? For example, I took one to get here. To give it
a
shot.
Uber.
And Uber. Okay. I thought, since I'm going to talk about Uber, I should take it. And the car that came in to pick me up was a Virginia license plate car, not under the D.C. Taxi sort of system of regulation. And so, should the district have any say in the standards? Should it have to have new smart meters like the ones that district cabs are getting? Issues like that.
So folks who are in the taxi business now, the owners and the drivers, they and their advocates, they are very vehement that the rules, that some rules be brought to bear on Uber and that they shouldn't be sort of regulatory outliers, correct?
I think the argument from taxis is there are a few, but one major argument is that there's not really a level playing field, that Uber is out there doing something. It's not subject to some of the rules that other taxis are.
That was David Alpert of Greater Washington appearing on News Talk on News Channel 8. Host Bruce DePoit asked Alpert about Councilmember Mary Che's efforts to regulate Uber earlier this summer.
And it's Councilwoman Mary Che's committee that I guess they started to look at it this summer, and maybe there was an expectation they would do some things then, but because the issues are complicated and because, let's face it, the Uber fan base is enormous and vocal,
right.
So they've decided we'll take a little bit longer and punt this to the early fall,
right.
Apparently.
So what happened earlier this summer was there was a bill around adding smart meters and GPS and credit card payment to regular taxis. And Uber was operating essentially outside the law in a way, so they were negotiating with Mary Che's staff to figure out how to at least temporarily make sure that they're not breaking laws. And Mary Che's staff thought they had an agreement or at least a sort of framework of a consensus with Uber around essentially to say Uber can continue to operate as long as their fares are higher for the time being. And then the Uber management decided sort of at the last minute that they weren't very happy with that, went out to their fans on Twitter and Facebook and so on and asked people to sort of shower the council with angry letters. And that made the council back off a little bit on taking any action.
We turn to one final clip from Tuesday's interview with David Alpert on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DePoit.
The fact that this is smartphone-based, it's boop, boop, boop when the car shows up.
Right.
The fact that it's a black town car, kind of with a kind of luxury feel to it. Is this yet another sign that the district is changing, that the newcomers are bringing certain preferences and I hate the term lifestyle, but you'll come up with a better term and help me out on this. But this is another way in which life is evolving in the nation's capital.
There has been a lot of evolution in terms of the way people live, and more people are continuing to remain in urban areas as they get older, mm-hmm. as they advance in their careers and have more money. And so what that means is there are certain types of products that serve people who live in these urban walkable places that perhaps in the past weren't going to be in as much of a high demand. So possibly a high-end taxi type service is in fact one of those. But of course there'll always be a need for taxis in different price points. And personally, I find that the district taxis, the regular ones, work very well as well. I almost always take those, and they take me where I need to go. The drivers know where they're going. So it's not like, there are certainly complaints about it, but it's not like it's a terrible system.
And so we expect this issue to be under the microscope fairly soon, right? The council will come back, whatever it is, late August, early September, this feels like it's sort of to the head of the agenda, as it were.
Right, and Mary Che has promised to have a hearing in September, I believe, to discuss the long term about how to essentially level that playing field, come up with one set of rules that can apply to Uber and taxis instead of two completely different sets.
That was David Alpert, founder and editor of Greater Washington, appearing Tuesday on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DePoit. I want to get both your reactions, Michelle and Tony, but first I want to give out again the number to call into the program if you want to join the conversation, and that's 703-534-9878, and the phone lines are open. That's 703-534-9878. Michelle, chime in, weigh in here on Uber.
Well, we are not against really any application that would really provide an ease and comfort for the public. However, there is a saturated market in the district already. But allowing all these Uber signers or drivers to come in freely and work in the district takes a greater market share of the industry itself. So what about the previously licensed drivers who totally depend on the industry? What happens? They will go away. The demand will decline. So they will just fail and they will be destroyed. That is what we want to protect. Or if the public needs a high-end and limousine, we don't dispute, but we are asking the government to strike a balance, to be fair, raise the minimum amount, fix the minimum amount, and whoever who chooses to use that service can choose and use it. Number two, you see there are drivers with a license plate from Delaware, Michigan, and any other state who come here in the district and work freely. Who are they? And public safety is also another concern. So we want the government to regulate, strictly regulate Uber. That's what we mean. Thank you.
And it was interesting to hear that David Alpert rode Uber to get to the station, and it was a car with a Virginia license plate. So exactly what, if any, oversight the district government has over this vehicle is unclear, or maybe it's clear that there really is none.
Nothing.
Yeah, there is no oversight. I mean, that interview was very disturbing on a number of fronts. First of all, he starts off by saying that Uber has a powerful fan base. That's a presumption he's making based on these so-called emails that came in the city council, which I think is very suspect. 4,000 or 5,000 emails. All of a sudden, people loving Uber. Most folk never even heard of Uber, know what it's about. That needs to be researched and investigated. That's what you mean by media not really checking things out. This is a reporter just accepting that as a premise, because you can hire companies that just mass produce emails into offices, but no one has checked that out. But here it is. The taxi cab drivers brought close to 400 or 500 bodies to the hearing at the taxi cab hearing, human beings at the taxi cab hearing. Council members didn't take any notice of that. 500, the largest crowd that hearing room had ever had in that room. And the council members didn't take notice of that. But all of a sudden they come up with fabricated emails. And he says there's a major fan base. This is not a questioning media. This is a media that accepts what the other media tells it to say. Another disturbing thing is that the words he used when they said newcomers and life is evolving. These are code words. What do you mean newcomers? What he means is this is a higher class of people. And there's some racial overtones in it. What he's saying is basically we have a much more wider, much more wealthier bunch using Uber. So this is the wave of the future. This is something that needs to be questioned. This is not necessarily the wave of the future. When you look at the majority of people in the District of Columbia and look at the majority, what is the makeup of the majority of passengers in this city? That is not necessarily the case. But yet they're catering to this so-called service that caters to a certain group of people, and they do not wish to regulate it. This is outrageous. They do not wish to have any regulation on this company. They can charge anything they want. Go in or refuse to go in any part of the city they want. There is no regulations on this company, and the city council have given its blessings on this. This is outrageous. This company is not regulated. David Catania was wrong when he said some of it is. Only the drivers are regulated, but that's not part of the company. This company is not regulated. This is an outrage, and it shows you the psychology of the media who have started off with a premise of accepting this as a legitimate way of doing business.
I also think it shows the priorities of the media, that there's so much coverage of Uber. But Michelle, I don't know when we've last seen a piece. Look, there is every now and again, and I could think of the front page of the Washington Post. It was some weeks ago. It's every now and again, but we don't hear the same consistency, the drumbeat for Uber that we do about what exactly drivers are going through. Remember, the Post article was entitled "Taxi to the Poorhouse?" Regarding what district drivers have to go through, but this space is occupied by Uber, and not a lot of space is occupied by letting drivers talk about how difficult it is in this current environment to be able to pay the bills and raise their families.
Well, as you can see now, the Taxi Cab Commission, even before, the new Improvement Act became into law. They have already regulated the vintage of the vehicles. We are expected to have a better vehicles. We have to have a credit card machine. We have to have a GPS system. All these have associated costs, mind you. Regardless of that, Washington, D.C. has the highest per capita ratio of taxi cab numbers in the world. In the world. And you are letting thousands and thousands of individual owners to come and freely operate without being regulated at any point, freely operate in this market. I mean, it is very simple and basic what is meant by supply and demand. We don't have just to consider on one side the internet or computer or smartphone savvy generation. We have to see also the other side of the society. They have totally disregarded and neglected the life of the driver that has established his life, the life of the family of the driver, and the life of those who directly or indirectly conduct business with the driver.
Those voices are definitely missing overwhelmingly from the media. The number to call to join the conversation is 703-534-9878. We have several lines open. I'd like to welcome a caller to the Taxi Link. Welcome, caller. You are on the air.
Hi, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Good. My comment is with regard to the Verifone. Just I want to give comment for listeners from what I have heard, because there are some cabs which are using, especially Grand Cab. They have installed previously Verifone for test. So one of my friend, who is a student, he also installed. And one Friday, it happened that one customer, a drunk customer, messed up his credit card machine. Then the whole system didn't work. That means all the meter, even he cannot get cash, he cannot collect cash, or he cannot turn on his meter. So the meter and the credit card system is already interconnected. So if one is messed up, you cannot do anything. So for the last 3 days, those 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he couldn't make money, because he's a full-time student during weekdays, just he lost his wage. And he goes to those guys who fixed it on Monday. So he told me it happened to him repeatedly. And the problem is, once credit card machine messed up or something messed up, everything will be messed up, and you cannot survive your business. So I don't know, people, why keep silent on this issue, especially the organizer. If there is demonstration or something, people have to do something, especially if such kind of situation might happen. So this is my comment. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I would say to that driver, if they can come and testify at the Taxi Cab Commission meeting, as well as we'd like to be in touch. I'd like to record his story, because that's critically important. If you have, you know, these are the type of details that I don't think the Taxi Cab Commission has even thought of. But you have this system, if it's not working out with the meter and someone who's drunk messes it up, this can really destroy people's livelihoods. I mean, Friday, you're saying the driver lost the weekend. That's where drivers make their money. This is highly problematic. So I think I'll give out again the number to testify at the Wednesday hearing. That's 202-645-6018. And you can call. I'd like to be in touch with this driver to get that story as well, because certainly the Taxi Cab Commission is not going to put that story out. But these are the type of points that, you know, we've got to raise, because looking through, and Michelle, you can speak to this, the Small Business Association, the leaders, had just a marathon meeting yesterday. They were poring over these various chapters. And if I remember correctly, there's so many different things that were said. But it's through 2013 that it's there really a warranty for it. But after that, drivers, it seems to me, are largely on the hook for this system. And just like this caller has pointed out, if the system breaks down, that could be a huge cost to drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we see the estimated price of the system is over $3,000. I mean, if a drunk person can come and easily break it, it will be the responsibility of the driver if the driver cannot prove that the failure happened because of somebody else or it is because of internal mechanical problem. So we urge you to come. You can download the regulations from the District of Columbia Tax Cap Commission website and go through and please look at Chapter 6. You will clearly see what the impact will be.
The number to call to join the conversation is 703-534-9878. Tony Norman, your response to the caller.
Just quickly, he's pointing out a very good point that these are companies that have already installed Verifone systems, and these systems are not working. They're flawed. They're defective. And this is, what are the provisions in the contract that will deal with this situation? I mean, did the council research this? This is the sort of thing that would have been brought out in a public hearing before the contract was ratified if they hadn't rushed it through emergency.
Number to call, 703-534-9878. Michelle, can you talk a little bit about the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, which sponsors this show and which came into existence just as the medallion fight was gearing up and helped to defeat that medallion bill that would have put several thousand drivers out of business. But it was interesting to, you know, sit in on the meeting that y'all held. There's people spending hours and hours and hours, and you know, drivers are financially hurting, including, you know, everyone at the table. Yet drivers giving up so much of their time to pore over these amendments to the Title 31 in order to protect drivers' interests.
Well, we are trying to do what we can, and we have done what we could in the past. But this is not the end, but we need the support of the driver itself. The driver has to make it its own primary concern. The concern of his life, the concern of his family. And if we don't get the support of the driver, the input from the driver, the push from the driver, we cannot go anywhere. So we urge everybody to participate, to take the concern as their own concern. So that's what we urge them. In addition to what we are trying to present in the hearing during the commission hearing, we have also prepared some flyers. You have to read that, and please take the message. And we have prepared also a petition to our council members, congressmen, and senators. And we urge you to sign those papers so that we can alert everybody and call everyone, concerned politicians and medias, to sound our voice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Tony Norman?
Just briefly want to say that fundamentally we need to see what this battle is all about. When you look at these new regulations, when you look at the attitude of the media, when you look at this dictator Linton, what's going on here is really the regulators and the people that control this city, they have no respect for what the taxi cab drivers. They don't see them as a part of D.C. They think that they're foreigners, that they're not a part of this city or even a part of this nation. They have a very condescending attitude, and the commission promotes that, starting with the chairman. And therefore, they all feel that way. When you read the story in the Post about this woman that wrote that editorial trying to be cute and putting down taxicab drivers, being condescending, that is the attitude of the media and the leaders of this city. And even when they say these little code words about newcomers and other things of that nature, this is all about a psychology of big companies coming in and the people who have no respect for the present drivers. That's why drivers need to show up and organize. No other industry do they restrict how many people can publicly testify. If the council tried that, people would be outraged that only 24 people can come down and speak on an issue. But they can get away with it at the taxicab commission. When you look at the attitude of this chairman, how he treats taxicab drivers, the condescension at his hearings, they would run this man out on a rail if he came to the city council treating other residents and citizens like that. This is more of a deeper issue. It is the way they treat and how they see the average taxicab driver. That's why it's important that the taxicab driver to get their message out to independent media, to get it out to the citizens of this city, so that this sort of attitude, and they feel that they can get away with doing this because taxicab drivers, they feel, can do nothing to them. They feel taxicab drivers are not voters. They have no influence over them. They can treat them this way. That's why this has to stop, and it has to be raised to the public how the drivers are being treated, not just in D.C., but in Maryland and Virginia. This is an outrage. If the media really exposed some of the things that are going on, this would be outrageous that any other citizen would deal with this sort of thing. But they don't see taxicab drivers as part of citizens of the District of Columbia or the United States. that is part of the condescending attitude of the leaders and the media of this city to taxi cab drivers.
And that's very much the point that Stanley Tapscott was making about the need for drivers to show up in numbers. We just have a couple minutes left, and we can take another call. Calls have been slow tonight, which is just fine. Number to call, 703-534-9878. But we'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments. Wednesday is going to be a very interesting day. Not only do you have the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission meeting, which, as we spoke about, it starts late, 11 a.m., not in the normal 10 a.m., because you have this press conference in the morning at Verifone. So that's the next opportunity for drivers to show up, and it's important that the powers that be hear directly from drivers, not necessarily because they'll all of a sudden change their mind, but it's important to publicly challenge them. It can't just be that people complain personally to one another. You've got to raise the concerns and put people on notice what's going on, that you're there. And then beyond Wednesday, which is, again, the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission meeting and this press conference preceding that, which we'll get the address, and we'll post that information at thefightback.org, so you can go there. This show will be posted by Sunday, Monday at the latest there, and the information about these events. But also you have a town hall coming up, a very important town hall put on by the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. Talk about this town hall, Michelle.
Yes, we planned it for August 19, but we have a lot of problem to make it then. We have postponed it for August 27, Monday, the same place, the same time. And we urge everybody to come and participate and to understand and see what the status of our struggle looks like. And we urge everybody to participate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Tony Norman, the town hall.
Yes, the town hall is very important. Taxi cab drivers need to come out and get information about what's going on, express yourself, and then this is the time to organize and fight and let the leaders, your taxi leaders, hear what you have to say. This is the time to express yourself. This is the time to find out what's going on. You have to show up to the town hall meetings to show that to organize yourself and to show up in numbers.
Final thoughts, Michelle Chime, any final thoughts you care to share?
Well, I mean, we are at this critical juncture. That's what I advise everybody. There is no return. If we let everything go the way it is going, there is no return. And I'm sure everybody will regret or remorse later on. If we don't fight and we don't struggle now, and if we do not try to stop them, the interest groups who are pushing behind to remove us from the street are winning. Clearly winning, surely winning, but we have to stop them at some point. We are not meant, 150, 160 years after the Declaration of Emancipation, the district government is trying to push us back to slavery. We are not slaves, we are not meant to be, or we are not destined to. We have children who go to the same school where the council members' children go. We have families who work with the wives and the aunts or sisters of the family members of the council members. But it is very sad, and it is a paradox always for me to understand why the council members or anybody concerned, politician, disregards the very existence, the very humanity of the drivers here.
Thanks, Michelle Chime. And you mentioned that big companies are on the move, and we've seen taxi cab drivers hold off big companies with the medallion bill. So it's not like there isn't a recent example of drivers coming together to defeat the interests of an elite few. Tony Norman, just have 30 seconds, your final thoughts.
Some drivers say that we can't win this. You're wrong. Some drivers say that we're going to lose this because the bill passed. We can't win. You're wrong. We continue to fight no matter what. As long as you are alive and breathing, you can fight, and we will fight this until the end.
This has been The Taxi Link, and I want to thank Mark Taylor for another outstanding job engineering, and I want to thank Will Martin for hosting last week, and he helps out with the Small Business Association. Tony Norman and I are headed down to 15th and U Streets Northwest right now to the gas station at 15th and U, so come on down there if you want to say hello, continue the conversation in person. This show will be posted at thefightback.org. Look forward to seeing drivers Wednesday at the press conference. We'll find out the address, and also at the Taxi Cab Commission meeting at 11 a.m. at 441 4th Street. Thanks. Catch you next week. Peace.